Good afternoon. You're listening to Glenn Coble, and this show, as you know, is A Progressive Life, and happy to have you listening. Today we have a special guest, and she's more than just special, because she's running for the office that I ran for two or three years ago, state representative for the 86th District. I think I have that right. And her name is Tiffany Roberts. And if you misspell her first name as many times as I have, good luck, because Tiffany, T-I-F-F-A-N-I-E. I've spelled it I-N-I-E. I've spelled it Tiffany with a Y. It's a mess. Anyway, welcome aboard, Tiffany. And this is Tiffany. And, oh, by the way, let me remind you, and I told her I'm terrible at doing this. If you want to call in a question from Tiffany, and the 86th District, by the way, covers most of Marion County and all of Union, thank you. Yeah, you can talk right into it, Union County. And it's been a while since I ran, so I forgot, kind of forgot. I'm sorry. But if you want to call, it's 740-383-WWGH or 740-383-9944. 9944. You got it? Okay. Just say something into that mic to make sure this is working.
Hi.
Okay.
So
yeah,
much.
We got you. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Let me read something to you. I'm going to kick this thing off with something that just aggravates the heck out of me. Most of the people that are listening right now probably know that Mr. Householder was just arrested for, what, $60 million worth of inappropriate funds that he was absconding with. But let me read you. This is a news release that I sent out. The date of it was July 23rd, 2018. So it was in the middle of when I was running for office. And it starts, millions in dark money spent in Republican primaries for State House. As GOP culture of corruption plagues Columbus, Tracy Richardson receives $6,997.91 in outside spending from dark money groups connected to Larry Householder. That, and I'm going to give you this, so in case you want to use it. And now, Tiffany tells me that her opponent, which is Tracy Richardson, who is the incumbent, has received some further money. Is that correct?
It is. In total, it is nearly $8,000 from Householder and Friends and $10,000 from First Energy, which is who benefited from House Bill 6 that they voted to bail out the nuclear plants.
And when I was doing some research on House Bill 6, I thought, well, I imagine that was a big vote. And what it comes down to, it was only one person. Now, your opponent abstained in the first vote on it, but in the concurrent vote, which is when they combine the Senate and the House language together, in that one, she voted for it. Now, she was only one of two that abstained in the first, and the other one abstained in the second, in the concurrent, but she did not abstain. She voted yes for this, and it won by one vote. I don't know what you can say about that. That's pretty self-evident. What is going on with Ohio government?
There's been a one-party rule between gerrymandering and the way that it's working. The Republicans have a supermajority. They've all made close allies, and with the campaign contributions, it's very clear to see that Larry Householder contributed directly to Tracy Richardson, and that allowed Larry Householder to get his Speaker of the House. excuse me. They're both in the position that they are in because of each other.
Yeah.
And neither one of them would be where they are without what the other one did for them. It's a violation of the trust of the people of Ohio. It's a violation of the trust of the people of the 86th District. We deserve better. Our state house needs dignity and respect returned to it, and that's what I intend to do.
Excellent, excellent. When I was running, I got to be friendly with Richard Cordray, who did fairly well, but it was about 40%, 41%, which compared to the rest of us Democrats, I think most of us were right around 30% of the vote. I got 28.9 or something like that, which was very embarrassing. But like I said, you're going to be a lot better candidate than I was. She's a female. That helps a lot at this current time. And she's a lot smarter. And she's got a nicer smile than I do. And she was born in Tucson, Arizona. Can you imagine that? Whatever got you up here?
That would be my husband. But we have just loved raising our daughters.
Yeah, you have two daughters.
Two daughters. The oldest one's about to go off to college. She moves into her dorm in a little over 2 weeks.
Mom's got a broken heart.
It's going to be tough. Yeah. It's going to be tough.
Pretty girl, too. I remember both of them are, but I remember the older one better. I think I met her at one of the things we went to.
She's definitely more politically involved. she's been my intern on the campaign, and we're going to be sad to say goodbye to her.
Well, tell us a little bit about yourself. I know a little bit, but I know this audience does not know you as well. Let's introduce you to who Tiffany is.
Sure. So as you said, I was born in Tucson, Arizona. Raised my whole life there. And I attended the University of Arizona there in Tucson. And then while I was in college, I started interning for Child Protective Services, which led me to a career in social work.
That was your major, right?
Sociology and Family Studies is what I studied. So sex abuse investigations is what I did in college as my internship. So investigating and really taking care of the most vulnerable in our society. I went on after that to work at a shelter for teens on probation. When they were arrested and they called the parents to say, come pick up your kid, they said, oh, let them spend the night in jail, teach them a lesson. Yeah, and there's no room there. So they'd get sent to my shelter, and my job was to reunify the family. So my job as a social worker really made me listen to all the different sides of the arrested kid, of the parents, of the probation officer, and come to a solution that worked for everyone to get everyone together. And I feel like that is really going to be a great quality to have in the state house, to be able to listen to all the different sides of an issue and come up with a solution that works for everyone. I feel like our politics right now are so polarized that nothing's getting done. You can see my campaign color is purple because I really want to be in the middle. I have very strong views and beliefs that I will always stick to, but we have to be able to serve the needs of everyone, and I want to be that person that can find all the different sides and solutions to get something that benefits the entire state.
My theme of my show, A Progressive Life, tends to go along that side. I have very, very strong opinions to the left side, but I also have opinions that we have to work together or nothing's going to be done. And I agree with you on that. But there are certain areas that kind of cause progressives to get a little uptight. One of which, and I'm going to ask you straight up, is your opinion. And I have your endorsers here, so yes. I know the answer to this, but I want to hear your opinion about the women's right to choose.
I am absolutely 100% committed to protecting a woman's choice and her protection over her body. That is not anywhere that government belongs at all. as a woman, I feel that very, very strongly. As the mother of daughters, I feel that very, very strongly. And as the wife of a physician, I feel like his training and what he has learned through medical school should let him make decisions for how he treats his patients. He's not in that field. He's a sports medicine physician. But I don't feel that doctors should be legislated from people that don't have medical degrees.
I need to talk to your husband. I got a knee ache that just won't go away. Anyway, I guess at 74, I'm allowed to have some aches and pains from playing football when I was young. The problem I ran into on that is that I felt it was more of a religious decision than it was a policy decision, but we're kind of turning in the state of Ohio, the I'm not sure if they're the majority, but the majority voter, the people, the numbers that vote are voting kind of saying that we should all be Christian, and that's not the way life really is. But I don't know what we can do about it. It seems to me like a religious question as opposed to a policy question.
You know, there's so many things that go into it, but Tracy Richardson has turned it into a science issue, too, because she co-sponsored a bill that not only imposes death penalty and...
The six-week rule, right?
Well, no, there's another one.
There's another one. Okay.
That requires physicians to re-implant an ectopic pregnancy.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, this is scientifically impossible to do. So they have wasted their time drafting legislation that is only going to lead to court fights and just a waste of time and money on something that is scientifically impossible. We have real life issues that need to be dealt with. Mm-hmm. And making things up and writing them into law is not helping anyone.
Well, she was very proud of being a Catholic, and that's fine. You should be proud of whatever you are. But it seemed to me that her Catholicism was ruling over her head as opposed to her policy and political side of things. I may be wrong.
No, I agree. And I was raised Catholic. I went to Catholic school. My jobs were through Catholic Social Services. So
yeah, I see
where she's coming from. What I do find very odd is that she's got the whole page on her website that talks about the sanctity of life and how she's going to protect it. She's a co-sponsor of the Stand Your Ground bill that allows you to shoot and kill someone when you have the opportunity to walk away with absolutely no repercussions.
Well, that brings up another question. These gentlemen that are out in Portland, Oregon, with no name tags on it, and they throw you into an unmarked vehicle. If that was a Stand Your Ground state, would I not be allowed to pull out a gun when they grab me and just blast them? I would think it would. I really hate that law.
I do too.
It's not through yet, though, right?
It is not. I've been to the state house multiple times as a Moms Demand Action volunteer. I am a Gun Sense Distinction candidate of theirs.
Yeah,
I've been there numerous times as the testimony is being read, both the proponent and the opponent testimony. It is terrible. It's terrible for everyone, but especially for people of color. I mean, when you look at the states that have passed this legislation, the rates of not just death but murders of people.
Yeah.
It's very famous ones. Yes, it is. It's very troubling.
Yeah, and Stand Your Ground is one of the things that we had a caller earlier talking that called in our show before this one, and I asked him about the I'm not sure I meant asked him, but we talked about afterwards the Stand Your Ground law, where that man and that woman, the lawyers, stood on their front yard and pointed guns at people. And in the state of Missouri, which is where they're from, they are Stand Your Ground state. And they're allowed to protect themselves because they felt that they were being aggressed at, and nobody went up on their lawn or anything. They just happened to walk through that gate that was right by their house. But in the state of Missouri, it is against the law to point at a person with intent, but you can stand your ground. So it gets really confusing. And what are we going to do in the state of Ohio? Is the stand your ground law more nuanced, or is it just a flat out you can blow somebody away if you're afraid?
You know, every time there's a hearing, things change with it. It definitely was not stand your ground yesterday, but yesterday there was testimony in the state house about taking away the training requirements for teachers that are armed in the classrooms. They don't want the teachers to have to go through training to be able to have a gun in their classroom. And they rewrote some of the language at 11 p.m. the night before so that when people came in to give their testimony, they could say, oh, that's not in the bill anymore, because they had changed everything right before it had happened. So it's not only opposing these bills, but it is reading and staying up on it over and over and over again, because they're changing in the dark of night when nobody's watching.
You're much like our current president fires everybody on Friday night so nobody sees it. But you've told me something, and I try to keep up. I didn't know that we were allowing weapons in schools.
I believe they are already allowed in there, and the teachers are supposed to go through a peace training.
Oh, excuse me for laughing.
Training program, and they're trying to take that away. It's deeply disturbing to have these guns in the classroom. And
do the teachers want guns in their classroom? Apparently some do.
They yeah. feel that if a shooter comes into the classroom, that they could protect their class. But with the lack of funding in education right now, they're laying off different support staff and other people that are in the schools. So you've got less adults watching over these kids. And I just hate the thought of a child
getting access to it. It's a gun. Bang. Yeah. Yeah. I'm not a big fan of any of that sort of thing. I watched a program where they were training people how to respond to an active shooter as they came into a classroom, and everybody that was in the classroom, supposedly they were all armed, and they didn't know when the person was going to come in. It was a test. They didn't know when or if a person was going to come in, and a guy shoved open the door and jumped in and started just firing. They weren't real bullets, but started firing. Nobody responded to him. They all ducked, and the one guy that did respond to him, he blew him away right off the bat. I was in basic training, and we went through 9 weeks of training on weapons, and one of the times with all this training that I was given, I walked back up the rifle range with my gun pointed right at the drill sergeant who was in the tower. Well, that we had been trained supposedly not to do that. Training only goes so far. And if you're only getting 8 hours or 4 hours of training, it drives me nuts. But I'm glad to hear that you're have been endorsed by Moms Demand Action. And I had not heard of that. I was not endorsed by them. I was endorsed by NARL and also Planned Parenthood, which I see you are.
So the Moms Demand Action is not actually an endorsement. What they do, it's a distinction. It's a gun sense distinction. So I have committed to their gun sense legislation, which is not taking guns away from everyone. No. Nobody is going to do that. But it is putting in place common sense, red flag, right, and different things like that protect people. Our children deserve better than to have to spend their school days practicing drills for when somebody comes in to kill them.
Yeah. There are rules that are just so obvious. And I don't think we've done away with bump stocks yet. And yet, I think initially, that was going to be the first thing to go. But I don't think we have a law against that yet. Now, maybe in some states, but we don't have a federal law against it. There are so many weapons out there now that just are, I mean, and when I was in your position running for office, I would have people who knew that I was for gun legislation. I wasn't allowed to call it gun control because that sounds bad. But gun legislation, sane sense gun legislation, they knew I was for that, and they would come up to me and give me every talking point that the NRA had handed out. And I wasn't smart enough to know when they were right and when they were wrong because they were well-schooled. And you're going to face that. You're going to face some well-schooled advocates for gun rights.
Absolutely. And I mean, it comes down to what we were talking about before with the extremes. And I mean, that extreme is all the guns, all the time, everywhere. And I am not the other side saying, take them all away. You can't ever have a gun for anything. Right. It is the in the middle, in the best interest of everyone in the state of Ohio to keep our kids safe, to keep our families safe.
I've never met a Democrat, or even, let's go further than a Democrat, a progressive Democrat. I've never met one that said they don't want a farmer to have a shotgun to kill the varmints that are killing his chickens. I've never met one that ever said we should take away all of anybody's guns. Why not allow people to go hunting? And nobody ever wants to do that. But you don't need to kill a deer with certain guns that will blow the whole side off of the deer. I mean, especially if you're not going to use the meat. But anyway, I don't know where to go. It's just frustrating. And I'm sure you've run into it. Have you had some good times on the... I know you're out knocking doors, I would assume, by now.
We are not knocking doors. It is killing me. I loved being able to meet all the voters when I ran in 2018. But yeah, no, with COVID, we can't do that.
Yeah,
so
that's right. I forgot that.
We're doing all sorts of phone calls. We're trying some texting, lots of social media, showing up at some socially distant events, but really we're doing most of everything online. It's not the same. We're doing the best that we can in a global pandemic that everyone is dealing with the same things.
At least both sides are having to deal with the same thing.
You know, I don't know how or why this became a politicized issue, but there's definitely some people that are not wearing masks and respecting the social distancing. So I think that some people are doing more than others are right now. But as I say, I want to run for the best of everyone in Ohio, and I don't want to risk anyone's health. So at this moment, I'm not knocking doors, but I definitely share all my contact information because I would love to hear from anyone that wants to talk about it.
Hang on, I'm getting a phone call, but I think it's probably not a good one. It's from Bangor, Maine, and I'm not going to answer that one because I don't know anybody. Well, I do know my aunt lived in Bangor, Maine. I got the mumps in Bangor, Maine once. Anyway, and you just had, I think you just had an event on social, didn't you have a fundraiser or something yesterday?
Yesterday, the same as you had, we tried to do a virtual tea with Tiffany. It's going to be the new Tuesday. Every Tuesday afternoon, we're doing tea with Tiffany. Unfortunately, we had some
gremlin to get in there.
Technology issues. And it's amazing because we had my daughter Bella and Chandler White from the Marysville area. So it was youth. And I mean, who knows technology better than the kids do? But we could not figure it out. The audience could hear both of us, but I couldn't hear Chandler and he couldn't hear me. Oh. So we were reading the closed captions of each other on a delay.
Oh, no.
So we're going to try it again because okay. I really, really believe that the voice of our kids is so important to hear.
Chandler speaks well, too.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
I'm sure your daughter does as well.
Yeah. So we're gonna start over next week and really give them their chance to speak.
Well, the one of the things that I found you're from Dublin,
yes.
But one of the things down in Marysville that I found is that farmers market is a great place to meet people, and I just noticed you went there. And one of the things I found while I was there, I walked around because everybody told me, oh, the farmers won't vote for a Democrat, but the younger farmers that I talked to would quietly, they'd look around, they didn't want their old buddies getting mad at them, but they'd look around and then they'd say, well, I really would like to vote for you. I like what you're saying. And are you finding that true?
I am. There's so much changing, and especially right now with COVID, with everything going on, they're really, really getting hit hard with the economy.
Yes. Yeah, I'm sure of that.
Farmers know what's going on with climate change. They feel it. Yeah. In their ground. They're concerned about the environment. There are definitely issues that we are right in line on.
Well, when I was there, the big issue that was killing farmers was all the, what do they call them, where they, tariffs, all the tariffs that were going against the American farmer.
Yes.
Now, I don't care what Mr. Trump said, they were going against the American farmer. But so... what are other things that you've been able to do other than this tea with Tiffany? And you have had some fundraisers, I believe, online.
We've had some campaign kickoffs. This coming Monday on the 27th, we're doing a volunteer kickoff. So that's going to be the opportunity for everyone that wants to be involved to find out all the different things when we're doing our phone banks, when we're doing our postcarding, all the different ways that they can help out. Eventually, we're going to get to be able to lit drop, not knock on doors to hand people, but at least leave things so that people can read about the campaign.
You've got 103 days, I think. Maybe 102.
It is coming fast.
It is
so exciting. It's terrifying at the same time.
Yeah.
And with yesterday's headlines, with everything going on, it's going to be a wild 100 days, but it's going to be so exciting.
Well, do you think... well, I know what I think, but I'm going to let you speak for yourself. Do you think the situation with our president's popularity dropping like a stone, do you think that will help you, or do you think it will not translate? Ohio was so red last time.
Ohio was very red last time, mm-hmm. but Ohio also voted for Obama both times.
Yeah.
I mean, there is... a real drastic need for change right now in the economy, small businesses, healthcare. There's so many things that need change. And
I noticed that one of your things on your website says you're looking to pass legislation to lower the cost of prescription drugs. How can you do that at a state level? I could see a federal level.
You know, there are bills going through to cap the price of insulin, things like that are everyday necessities that people should not need to be choosing between life-saving medication and food or utilities.
Yeah.
And
well, I wish you luck on that. I am very lucky. I am on Medicare, and I also have an auxiliary account or whatever it is that pays the other 20%. So when I go to the doctor, and also I have enough discounts with pharmacy that when I go to the doctor, I don't pay anything. And when I go to the pharmacy, I may pay $3 or $6 for my stuff. And I'm very lucky in that my medicine doesn't cost more than that. But where do you stand as far as universal health goes?
So it's interesting. As I said earlier,
with a husband who's a doctor.
Yes, my husband is a physician. And he would love to see that.
He would love his
patients to be able to come see him when they need to. We had a very unique situation in that he attended American University of the Caribbean in St. Martin. So that was the first 2 years of med school, and that's where our older daughter Isabella was born.
Probably free down there, right? Healthcare?
No.
So we
bought health insurance. I had a terrible pregnancy, starting with an ectopic pregnancy scare, which is why Tracy Richardson's bill just hurts me in my soul. Yeah. Very, very expensive birth. And despite paying for health insurance the entire time, the health insurance company decided not to cover the birth. And the hospital more or less held Isabella and I hostage at the hospital, saying that without the cash, they weren't going to release us. So you can imagine, as a former social worker and a med student, we didn't have the money. My father had to fly in from Arizona. She was born September 24th, 2001. So less than 2 weeks after September 11th, he had to fly in with the cash to get us out of the hospital. Now, we contrast that with the second 2 years of med school. We're in Waterford, Ireland, which is where my second daughter was born, and that was
universal
health care, and she cost $360. That is the max that you can pay in a year. At that point, you'd only pay $36 a day for 10 days. It didn't matter where in Ireland you were, $360. So I've seen both extreme sides of health care just in the births of my daughters. But even with my husband being a physician, I got a call from the pharmacy the other day saying a medication that one of my daughters needed was over $200, and did we still want to fill that prescription because it was that expensive? And it's out of
control.
And
there are people that couldn't.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Well, fortunately, you have a husband that makes some good money, I'm sure, now. He's probably still paying off some debts, I would imagine.
The student loans keeps going.
He's in sports, so he'll make the millions. My background is in athletics, as I think you know.
Yes.
I was going to ask you another question on the medical, but I have it's gone in and out of my brain. I noticed also on your website that you're interested in reforming tax code to encourage small business growth. At this time with the COVID, can we do that sort of thing? We certainly don't have to give it to the big boys. Yeah, but
absolutely. You know, every day things change as far as what is and isn't going to be available and what programs are available that we can offer to small businesses. But more than anything right now, that is the focus, is getting these mom and pop shops and other small businesses to a point where they don't have to shutter their doors. Mm-hmm.
I had a small business for 5 years, and had this happened to me, I would have had to close almost immediately because I didn't have an extra nickel to do anything. That knocked something right out of my head again. I need to talk to your husband about my mental acuity here. I noticed that you want the best for our children in the community, and we needed those tax dollars to go to their textbooks, their classrooms, and to the teachers. We've said since I was a little guy that teachers aren't paid enough. Are we ever going to get to a point where teachers are paid enough?
I certainly hope so. Both of my parents were teachers starting out. I did some substitute teaching when my girls were little. They are very much underpaid for what they are responsible for getting our next generation. Unfortunately, DeWine has already announced the cuts to education with this. I don't know what direction it's going. It's such an uncertain time right now.
Betsy DeVos is going to make it all private.
Well, and that is the problem, is we've got these for-profit charter schools that are taking the money out of all these districts. And, I mean, it's lining the pockets of corporations.
Yeah, and we've really had it bad in Ohio.
It's terrible. Yeah.
You're not able to go to any of the county fairs this year, are you? Because they're not having them. That was one thing I really enjoyed.
I mean, all the opportunities to get out and meet people it's really unfortunate.
I noticed another thing on your website where you talk about treating addiction. And everybody talks about the addiction to the, what are they called? Opioids.
Yes.
How do you think we can do that as a state? Again, I'm one of those people that some of these things are going to have to be done at a national level, but how can our state make our lives better by getting rid of that sort of thing?
You know, it has to be a multifaceted solution, and that is where I keep coming back to my social worker background and having to take from different sides, because mental health is going to have to go into that. Education is going to have to go into it. The price of the prescription drugs, I mean, it all needs to come together so that we can deal with this. And if it's not being done at a federal level, then we will have to take care of it at a state level. And I feel like there are programs that we can put in place to at least take a step forward with it.
Unfortunately, with this current president, we almost have to do everything at a state level because he's not willing to do much of anything at the federal level. You know, I keep seeing that you were a social worker. My wife... I was a Republican until Mr. Nixon came along, and my wife and I fought all the time about that, and she was a social worker, and she explained to me, she said, not all people that need a help up are just trying to con the system, because I was delusional about that. I assumed that everybody was just trying to make a buck, and that's why... And I said, well, how about this lady? She has a nice, and way back then, it wasn't a nice new car, but it was a fairly new car. And she pointed out to me that she had that car before she came. Her husband died. Matter of fact, he died in one of our wars. I can't remember which one. But anyway, she said he died, and she needed the car because she had a job. She couldn't give it away just because now she needed some help from the government. Have you run into things like that where we seem to have so many talking points now that have nothing to do with reality? They aren't on the ground with us. Do you run into people talking stupid stuff like that?
You know, I've said it before. We are so polarized right now that, I feel like people have these talking points, these preconceived notions, and this pandemic has shown that there's a huge population that are just one more month away from needing to be the people that they have been accusing of taking advantage of the situation. Anyone that gets a paycheck is paying into these social services, and they are there for when we need them.
Yeah, yeah. And now I always struggle with people that point out that person, she's a welfare mother, and she gets $250 a month for each kid she has. And boy, you can really get rich off of that. Now I don't know what the numbers are, but. My wife pointed out to me, by the way, I did change to a Democrat at that point. My wife pointed out to me, let's add that up. And I would add up the numbers. You couldn't live on it. and nobody was trying to live on it. They were just trying to get by so that they could find a job, so they could do what they needed to do. And a lot of... Do you think... I've been toying with this idea. Do you think that this situation might make it so that we go back to a position where families have one breadwinner instead of two? Because you're going to have somebody, if there's no school, you're going to have somebody stay home. And that's not a bad thing. I don't care if it's the guy or the girl, or if you have both guys or both girls. It doesn't make any difference. Whoever stays at home stays at home. Do you think that might be a way that we could... I know people don't like that idea.
You know, I think that through this, through almost everyone having to work from home recently, that I don't know that many families could afford to only have one person earning an income. But I think that people are getting more creative in how they get their work done. If they're doing it at home, can they do it at night when the kids are sleeping, or breaking it up in little portions throughout the day? But I do feel that families are so strapped these days, I'm not sure that they'd be able to afford to lose half of their income.
Well, if Mr. and Mrs. Coble can live on Social Security, other people can live on less. And I used to teach budgeting to people. And I had one lady that made the point obvious to me. We talked about where she spent her money. And one of the things she brought up is she got coffee every morning, and she got it from Starbucks, and she paid $3.45 or whatever it was at the time for her coffee. And I said, why don't you just do it at home for a quarter a cup? Well, it's not as good. No, but you'd save, and we figured out how much she would save if she didn't spend $3.45 every day for a month. And it was considerable. I think people are going to have to learn how to budget better. And we don't teach budgeting. Now, there is a new law about 5 years ago, came a law that says we are required to teach all Ohio students at least one semester, I think, of finance.
Yes.
But I've seen what a lot of those classes are, and they're basically babysitting classes. I would teach the class, and they hated me because I had to actually make them learn something. It was... kind of sad.
So it's this year's seniors that will graduate next year, 2021, where it went into effect. Okay. So my daughter, who's going to be a senior, she took it last year, the financial literacy. And
did she get good classes?
We are very fortunate to have a phenomenal school system.
You're Dublin.
Yeah. she had a great teacher, and we had some very interesting conversations around the dinner table about it. But I think that everyone's changing their budgets at least a little bit right now. It started with not being able to go out to eat because the restaurants were closed. People are learning how to cook more at home or getting back to that.
It may not be any good, but they're cooking at home.
Travel, you know, that people... obviously, definitely aren't traveling outside the United States, but are doing some road trips instead of getting on airplanes. This could be a reset and restart for how people are spending their money and living their lives.
And it may not be a bad reset. It may be a reset where we open our eyes a little, which is something we haven't done in a while.
I hate that this comes at the expense of so many lives and long-term health detriments to so many people. There's so much that could have been done that wasn't, that we really could have drastically lowered the numbers of the losses of life, of money in the economy. Yeah. If there's so much, when you look at what the other countries around the world have done, and they're getting back to real life. Mm-hmm. So, I'm going to keep bringing it back to real life solutions for real life problems and just getting to the root of what's in the best interests of the entire state, the entire country as a whole.
Fantastic. Well, we only have a couple minutes left to go, and I wanted to remind people. Naturally, I forgot to give our phone number again, but people don't. They like to listen to smart people like you. We're with Tiffany Roberts, who is running for state representative in the 86th district, if I recall correctly. And how can they get in touch with you if they want to help or anything else?
Sure. So I'm all over social media, from Twitter to Facebook, Instagram, Roberts for Ohio. My website is tiffanyroberts.com. That is TiffanyRoberts.com. Yeah. And I would love to hear from anyone that has any questions, suggestions, problems. I am here to help before, during, and after I'm elected as the next state representative.
We've got 103 days, I believe it is, until you get elected. And I'm going to have you on if you'll come back on more times than just this once.
I would love that. Thank you.
And I do have to offer to your opponent, Tracy Richardson, the opportunity. We would love to have her come on as well. And I'm not an aggressive type of a person. I will let you speak your will. Well, thank you very much, Tiffany. Again, Tiffany Roberts, running for state representative in the 86th district. We've got about 10 seconds left to go, so I'm going to get out of here, and thanks for listening. Please tune in tomorrow. It's going to be a hodgepodge day tomorrow because I lost my interview because of my own stupidity. I'm sorry. You're listening to WWGH here in Marion, Ohio, 107.1.
WGH Radio, 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio, the talking place. For grandson of President Warren G. Harding, Jim Blessing.
And for the first time, I'm very happy to say, doing the first broadcast interview here in Marion, Ohio, on a station named after Warren G. Harding.